Okay. Let's start the shift today. This is Chef. When we come to Shabbos, obviously we'll go over the difficult sugya beginning of Ramadan. We'll go over the sugya of that at the beginning. Again, to those who haven't fully grasped everything that went on, will be clarified, and with also additions, of course, on Shabbos, we always most of things. But we're going to carry on the sugya. The aim today, obviously, is to get down to the bottom of the omelet, if we can. The daf dalet on dalet, daf dalet on the daf. Daf dalet on dalet. Yeah, so we start from Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines, 6 lines down. At the end of the line, Rav Ashi says the following. Omar Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, Otu Evez V'Amar Lab Tama Rab Ismu. You can't prove anything from the fact that the master does not pay for the damage of a slave. You can't prove anything of how we judge negligence. You can't prove it. Because Tama Rab Ismu, there's a good reason that's written there clearly. Special reason. It's because Shema Yachtedenu Rabba, maybe it'll come on purpose. Kosa for his Rebbe, master, Viena for Yavne, Gidusha Shachemer, to go and light up somebody's haystack. And by doing that, he's able to obligate his master with hundreds of, let's call it dollars, every day. And, that is the reason why we don't want that to happen. That's what we mean. We don't want it to happen. And therefore, he should be chayiv, the master should be chayiv, but he's not going to let him be chayiv because of this. So there's no proof for that, special reason. Now if you look at the Maromokum, I'm going to put it on the screen. Look at the Maromokum I give you. What exactly is Rav Ashi saying is the actual reason in the day why you're potter? So it's a Machlokas we've shown him, what's the reason why Rav Ashi is saying that your master is potter for the Eved causing damage? So we see the Meiri first. Eved, even though they definitely had intention to cause damage, even though he should be chayv, the master with the damage, even though as his property, of course he has to look after them. So the Rebbe says, it's a special tekona. Because if you don't make this protection for the master, maybe the Eved will on purpose, the slave on purpose, will go and damage somebody's property, and cause him extreme monetary loss every day. And then he'll try and get out of it and saying, that I was b'shogeg, I did it on purpose. You can't say I did it on purpose. I really don't. That we don't trust him. Merama, he's a lie. Mezid, we assume that he did it for Mezid. Both out to b'shogeg and he pretends to be shogeg. So at the end of the day, says the Meiri, if he damages something, we assume he did it on purpose and assumed he did it in order to obligate his master in payment. We have to protect the master from such malicious behavior of his efforts to do such a thing. We have to take away something which he should pay. You should pay the master, but we're going to take that away in order to give a protection for him from having claims against him.
Are we talking about Eved Kanani?
Talking about Eved Kanani. Yes.
But an Eved Kanani is owned by the master and doesn't own anything. He doesn't have possessions.
Yeah, so he doesn't own anything, correct? And therefore, we're going to protect the owner of the Eved Kanani from not having to pay. We're saying normally the owner of the master of the Eved would have to pay for them what the Eved does. It says we're going to say you don't have to pay, and the only portal goal of being able to get your money would be for the Eved Kanani. At the moment of time, that doesn't mean anything because there's nothing for the Eved Kanani to pay. But in eventuality, the Eved Kanani does get set free, then you'll be able to, and becomes a full-fledged Jew and have his own possessions at that stage, then you'll be able to make a collection on something which was given 20 years earlier at that stage. when he gets set free. So Bethlehem, it's saying it's a special takana that the master doesn't have to pay. And even in the case of Shogeg, meaning by mistake, the mark, the Eved damage, where in theory we don't need to protect the master in that case, because we only have to protect the master from malicious damage, not from by mistake damage of the mark of the Eved. Says the Miri, in that case, we don't trust the Eved. Did it by mistake? We always assume he did it on purpose. Enoch Anami, if we know for sure that the Eved did it by mistake, what's going to be the din according to the Meiri if we know for sure that the Eved did it by mistake?
The master will pay
under those circumstances. So that comes out according to the Meiri that if we know for sure without the evidence, we know for sure it's Bishogeg, then and so malicious, then in Nochanami the master will pay for the damage his slave did. Now if you go to the next Maramokum, Shita Mekabet says, brings a Bravenu Yona, and he says a slightly different Peshat altogether. And here we'll see an Achimina. Vahalta Rav Ashi is coming to tell us, Eved Ama, Lav Tama Rabba, there's a special reason by Eved Ama, Kloma. What does he mean, a special reason? Eved Ama, Vatai I Epsilon Shomrom. And Eved the slave, it's impossible to obligate the master for the damage, because it's impossible to guard against the damage. Kevin's government says, and why is it impossible to guard? Because he's a malicious guy who has a brain, and he'll have all plans, and he'll foil any protection system which the master puts up. He will get round and cause damage. So it's impossible for the master to look after his Eved from damaging Marcus Israel, and therefore, since it's impossible, therefore, when it's impossible, we can't obligate the master for the case when that slave actually damages. So basically, what Ravashi is saying is that the Torah says that a slave that damages, the master doesn't pay, because the master, even though he owns the slave, is not responsible for that damage when normally damage you of your money you would be responsible. Here it's not, because here it's impossible to guard it. Impossible to guard, therefore we don't give you obligation to guard. We only give you an obligation to guard on things which you can guard. So God say, guard something which is impossible to guard, so therefore we don't have a chiyuv shmira on avodah. There's no fear of the master to look after his Eved, because the Torah would never put an obligation to look after something which he can't do a proper job on. So therefore there's no obligation, midaraisa, of looking after your Eved. Now according to that logic, if we knew that the Eved damaged by mistake, what would be the thing? Will you be able to claim from the master? Will you be able to claim from the master if we know the Eved damaged by mistake? No, because the way to make the master pay is that you are negligent in doing a duty which you have to do. But according to this Rishat, there's no duty which the Ozan has to do in respect to his master, because he has no chiv, because the Torah never obligated with him. If so, if by even as Eved, by mistake, for sure damage, you still can't go to the master, because there's nothing to get the master on, because he did nothing wrong, because he had no obligation in the first place, because the Torah never gave him the obligation. So there's a nafgamina between the two Peshatim. According to the Meiri, if we know it's done the show game, and wasn't of purpose, there's no reason for the Tukhona, and then you can go to the master to get paid. You need to pay your money. As according to the Shittabek event says, the reasoning over there is, you have no obligation ever to look after your master. Okay. You can never say to the master, there's nothing more, you didn't do your looking after. What do you mean? I never was required to look after a slave. That's enough given. So only on the Eved.
Okay, may I have a question?
Yeah. He's got das, and you can't lock him up in the cage. But I mean, with the lion case, you could, in theory, just lock him up in the cage. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
I've got one. Ask a question in the yeah, go on.
What's stopping the master telling the slave, go set fire to my neighbor's field? I don't like the guy. And I'm telling him deliberately, go set fire to the field. And if ever says to the owner of the other field, I did it deliberately.
But that's true of every Jew. A Reuven says to Shimon, you Shimon, I pay you to go and damage somebody else. What's the din? We'll see later on in Baba Kama. That Shimon is chayav and Reuven's off the hook. Reuven's off the hook because he's the one that damaged him, not me. He is stupid for listening to me.
Yeah, he's a slave.
Maybe I might be the Shemayim for enticing him to do it, but and I'm having the same going to be with the odd master and his slave. You shouldn't have listened to under no circumstances.
But yeah. He's Potter from Pain.
Yeah, the master is Potter from Pain onto this. He has no obligation to look after it.
And so is the slave.
The evidence code is hired, just he can't pay. And when he gets set free, he will have to pay. The evidence is also hired. But also not master. Yeah. Oh, well, no, we'll get into Shabbos, don't talk about it. So that in Shabbos we'll mention if this is a toss between Masi and Tosis. Okay, we'll mention it on Shabbos. Yeah. Now, an upper nakhmina of this, if what happens to the slave is underage, a cotton, any damages. Now, if the reason is because it makes it special to Kona, to let the master, because you can master, otherwise we don't protect you, then the slave on purpose come up with ideas to damage you, so we protect you mid-rabbon and take away your obligation. Is that applicable by a cotton? If your slave is a cotton, underage, is it applicable?
No.
Cotton? Does cotton have dust, have damning possibility? No. Yeah, so therefore, if a cotton slave damages, if the reason is Takana, there's no reason for the Takana over there, and then you will be hired for the master. But if the reason is Torah never hires you, full stop, on money which is called a Ebed, you have no obligation to look after at all, then even if the cotton damages, you can't go to the master, because the master says, what did I do wrong? I have no obligation to look after anything that I own, which is a Ebed, a Das, has an Otom, the Torah never hires the Otom to look after the B'nai Otom. Okay, so that's two Nafka minutes between the Shatim. Okay, so let's carry on the Gemara. The Gemara carries on. So therefore, how are we going to learn the Mishnah of Mavir and Shah? What's Shah? Mavir? How are you going to read it? So El Porachopi. So this is what the Mishnah means. If you only write Shah, which is a malicious animal damaging through Keren, you would not be able to learn out the damage of shame from it, because it's Kabbalah's Ahezek, because he's malicious, and you should know from the beginning that since he's malicious, you have to look after it, and therefore you're negligent, top level, 10 marks for being negligent, and you have to pay. But correct, shame, you're not so negligent, because he's not so malicious, and therefore you can't predict so much. So therefore, if you write Keren, you would not be able to learn shame is higher for the master to pay, unless you also write shame. Okay. Shame comes out, because shame is not so negligent, because you can't predict it so much, because he has no intention to write shame. And if you only write shame is higher, I would think only Shane is time for the master to pay through consumption of the animal. Shane's $100, because there's a trigger out there that you know that there's a trigger out there that can get him quite frequently, which is Hanar comes around. That's going to make him go ahead and get that Hanar at all costs, which will cause damage. So you can also predict by Shane a certain level. You have prediction to, you have to be able to look after that. Because they know there's a trigger out there that's frequently coming along, which will create the damage. So that's why you're high, because you have high negligence, but not looking after the shame animal, because you can predict it, because this event is a constant basis event. It's not like Karen, there's not a trigger over there that's a constant basis that you could say, that you should have predicted it. Well, I don't know when he's going to do this. It's only like once a month he does this. Shane, it's every day. So therefore, he's not so negligent in Karen, because by Karen, it's not so common. It's not something there that is a trigger. There's not a trigger there that's. So therefore, Therefore, that's now the reading of the Mishnah, and it makes that more sense, because we're always talking about that you can predict. Einoch Hanami, with predicting, makes you negligent. If you can predict, then that will make you highly negligent. And each, both Karen and Shane, have a sword to say you should be able to predict it. And that is therefore the logic we're going with, which is the Masdon of the Gemara above. Okay, now everything fits. Now we've got a slight problem. What's the slight problem? Regel, my Shiaim. Why did you leave out Regel? Could you, Shmuel, you only mentioned out of the Shah, you mentioned there's three types of damages an ox can do. You mentioned, according to the Mishnah, you mentioned only two. Karen and Shane. Where's Regel? Why did you leave that out? Why is it not there? So he said, don't worry, it is somewhere. Where is it? It's somewhere in the Mishnah. Where? Kishahizik chava mazik. When the words, these words are quotations, Tosis tells us that these words, kishahizik chava mazik, are quotations from the second Mishnah. The second Mishnah says, just like the first Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah says, kishahizik chava mazik. And if your money damages, you have to pay. Okay? In the second Mishnah, it repeats it. Says Shmuel, the white is repeating in the second Mishnah, because here's the common Mishnah, that when he damages, you have to pay. You've already said it in the first Mishnah. Why are you repeating the words? It's fair. It's fair. I'm to hint at something, that what you try to hint, there's a case which I haven't listed, that is only chayiv if it happens. Which case haven't you listed? Says Shmuel, my case of Regel. I've got in the Mishnah Kenan. I've got in the Mishnah Shane. I haven't got Regel there. So where is it? It's hinted as also being chayiv with extra words in the Mishnah. Which Mishnah has these extra words? The second Mishnah. Yeah, very strange. The Gemara has your problem. That's tell me Regel. That's telling me to tell me Regel. The list of the hedges. So the Gemara asks Dr. Dinner's question. Why do something strange like that? Regel? And only say Regel's time with a hint? Why not say it for Ferris? Write it for Ferris. Write it for Ferris. El Omarava. That's such a good question. I have to change everything. Such a good question. There's no way, there's no logic to say that Regel is just hinted. There's no logic behind it. So, El Omar Rava says, new Peshat, according to Shmuel, Tana Shah Leraglo, Umava Lishina, Engachanami, Ah Mishna, when it says Shah, is not talking about Keren, it's talking about the Mazik of Regel. When it says Shah in our Mishnah, means the Shah damages with his rent. Umavit says Slofin. Shah, it says Abba Abbas Nazikian. Shah means the Regel. Okay? We'll explain why the Shah is the one chosen for Regel in a moment. Shah is Regel. Mavit, which is also Beferish, a Mazik written in the Mishnah, is Lashem. Vahochi Gomer, and therefore this is how you read the Mishnah. Lo roi ha regel. If you only write regel's chayv, shiziku motsu, I would say only regel's chayv, because it's very, very common. It's everyday activities which the animal does, and therefore since everyday activities which the animal does day in, day out, very common that he will cause damage, and only then I would think that the master would be chayv, because he should be able to predict this, because this is everyday activities, high level of negligence. Koroi Shein, but Shein, which is not as common activity through that process, would you damage? Therefore, Shein Hazek Motsu is not as common as Regel. It is common, but not as common as Regel. You wouldn't be able to say that the master is negligent if you just tell me Regel is high. Regel is high, because that is very predictable, very common, and high level of negligence, not protecting against that. Shane, if you don't write it, I would think is not as common, and therefore, since it's not as common, not as negligent, and therefore, I wouldn't think you have if I just have Regel over there. So I have to write Shane. Below, Roy has Shane, and if I only write Shane, Sheis Hanala Zeka, I'll think you're chayav for the master, you're chayav, because there's a trigger there, that there's always natural triggers of hana seeking, from benefit seeking from the animal, which are going to push them to do damage, and therefore you should be able to predict it, that there's out things which are going to actually make him actually do a damage. The kavana, he's going to be kavana damaged because he's seeking to get benefit. So therefore, you're negligent in not looking after that animal. But karoi regal, it's not like regal. I would think maybe regal, you're off the hook because it's not as negligent because you can't predict that much. Because there's no seeking of hanar that makes him damage. All the damage of regal is always by mistake. It's never he does it but on purpose. The animal damages by regular is always, he's not interested in halal in damaging, and he's just doing his normal activity of walking, and therefore it's always by mistake. So therefore you would say that only when the animal is predictably there, out there to damage on purpose, which is like with shame, because he's damaging on purpose to get the halal, then the master will be chayiv. But not in a case where the animal only damages by mistake. Maybe the master will be chayav. Therefore, we ask now, what? Now the Gemara asks the same question. Keren Masha. So I'm actually asked the question this time. Keren Masha. What happened to Keren? Let's ask the same question we asked before. You listed just two. You listed Regal and you listed Sheik. You missed out Keren. Where's Keren? Where's Keren gone? Where's Keren? Karen. So he says, "Kishahis in Chavamasi." You know where Karen is? It's hinted. Where is it hinted? In the second Mishnah. Where is it hinted in the second Mishnah? For those extra words. Hold on. We've already gone this way. It's double jeopardy, whatever they call it. We've done this process again. We already said that that was a silly answer, didn't we? Said that's a silly answer. Remus Karen. You should say the Ferris. You say the Ferris. That's okay. The list of the headless, the master asked the question. Hold on. You should say the phrase. Don't give me red headless. I said that already apart. Why am I asking it again? So here the master said, no, I've got a good answer here. Here the master says, I've got a good answer. Why it's Berenis? Why it's not here? Why? The muazim metzchilo sokomori. The tamim le sokomoti lo komori. Our first Mishnah on the Perek are only talking about damages where the first time events happen, Daniel does this even the first time, then you have to pay Mr. Owner of it. So all those cases in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, so if this happens the first time, you have to pay. But Thomas of Wooden, but type of damages where the first time you're not going to have to pay the whole lot. The time he damages maliciously, the animal, first time he does it, you're not really responsible, we just give you a kanas, you pay a half, and if you do it three times, then we uplift it to them being responsible totally to pay that. Okay, that's the mission, I'm not talking about that type of categories. That category is not going to be in our first mission, we only want to talk about Abba, which is naturally their mazics, and naturally your negligence, and naturally if it happens even the first time, you're going to be held accountable. So therefore I can't list Karen in the first mission. Because Karen doesn't fit into the structure of the mission. Doesn't fit into the structure of the mission. Other mazik, okay. We'll see in the next few lines where Shmuel learns of the mazik. Yeah? So, Shmuel, then the Gemara says, okay, now it's very good. I understand Shmuel. Shmuel, in the first Mishnah, is talking about regel, fishing, Karen doesn't fit into the criteria of what the first Mishnah wants to talk about, and therefore it's not mentioned over there, it's mentioned in the same Mishnah. Okay? Shmuel, my time lo on the karat. So, okay. Shmuel, you got off the shots. But why didn't you like Rav? Rav saying that Mavi is Otama Mazik and Shah means everything. So why didn't you do that? Why didn't you like that, Shmuel? Amalakha, so he answers, Esau Kadata Otam, because it can't mean Otam in our Mishnah. If Mavre means Adam, then we can't have Adam in our Mishnah. Why can't we have Adam HaMavrik in our Mishnah, which is what Rav wants to do? Which is Mr. Bloch's question. Hakatoni Sefer, because it's said already Adam HaMavrik in the next Mishnah. So why would it say it twice? You wouldn't say something twice. It's not in the first Mishnah, Adam HaMavrik, because it says it in the second Mishnah. It wouldn't say Adam Mazik twice. It's repeating itself. Why would it repeat itself? So the fact I see that it's in the second Mishnah means it's not in the first Mishnah. So I can't learn Mavri as being Adam, even though it would be a nice Mishnah to learn that it's Adam, but I can't because it's as he says in the second Mishnah. Here we've got now a clue to what was bothering us at the beginning of the story. Shah, as everyone says, naturally means a lot. Ox has three ways of damaging. The natural pshat to learn the Mishnah is like Rav. That shah means everything. The natural pshat is to say shah means everything. To say that shah means just one of them called regular. And Mavir is saying that's what that shah means everything. All three. That's the natural thing to say. What forced Shmuel to go away from the natural pshat of shah means everything? Because he says, but if shah means everything, I don't know what Mavir means. And Mavik can't mean also the Mazik, because also the Mazik already mentioned in the second Mishnah. So Elamai, Shah can't mean everything. It means one. I have to choose which one. I choose that Shah means regular. Why? Because can't mean Keren, because again, Keren is the wrong thing. It doesn't fit into the criteria of this Mishnah. And I don't want to say it's shame, because when it says Losh and Mavir, at least I know there's some connection between Shein and Mavir from the Pesukim we learned at the beginning. And therefore, those Pesukim weren't nonsense, because that was the question we said at the beginning. Hey, they say nonsense answers because it's not really Meduyak, and that's not the reason. So it's not. I need it. I need that Shein has some connection to the word Mavir. It does. It's not Meduyak. And then I can say the Shein in the Mishnah is in reference to the way it says Mavir, because we have a positive reference. We have no positive of Regel ever being anything to do with the word Mavir. So therefore I choose out of Regel and Shein, I say Shah is in reference to Regel. Mavir is in reference to Shein. That's Moshe. Now, we have a question on the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah want to say Shah and say Shah is only Regel? I know the Mishnah is saying Shah is regular and Mav is shame. I know, because of process of elimination. But why did the Mishnah want to say Shah and say it's only referring to regular? Because by Shah, the natural damage of a Shah is what he does frequently without any intention. He just does the activity every day. This is his normal process of life. This is how the Shah naturally walks around, and that is the way he's going to damage. To have a Keren, we said, is abnormal, and Mishnah is not talking about such a case. And Shein, in such a case, Shein is not really. It is a Chiddush, we said. Shein being considered a Mazik is a Chiddush. That's the whole sugya we had on Gimel on us at the top. That to classify Shein as being a Mazik is a Chiddush. Because really, all he's doing is getting Hamar and should pay just for the value of Hamar. It's a Chiddush of the Torah to say that it's called a Mazik even though it's really only paid for. So therefore, you want to say Shah is a Mazik. Out of the three, the one that Shah is a Mazik is regular. That's how the Mishnah is talking, according to Shmuel. Okay? So let's carry on. Shmuel, why does it go like Rav? On the first Sotah, Atam, Hatzai Sefer, already says Adam and Mazik in the next Mishnah. Where does it say Adam and Mazik in the second Mishnah? It says over there, and this is Shah Hamud. A Shah which has already brought four, three times, he has to pay 4 months of money. Shah HaMazik, Rishus HaNizik, even the first time Shah, we're going to discuss this at this stage, we're going to discuss it later on in the Mishnah there, Shah HaMazik, Rishus HaNizik, a first time Shah that damages maliciously, if he does it in a private domain, he also pays 4 months of money, we'll explain it why. V'Adam, and it also has an official Adam HaMazik, Adam HaMazik, so therefore it says in the second Mishnah, Adam HaMazik is paying, so it can't be in the first Mishnah. Now, the obvious question, why did it want to split it up? Why did it not want to mention Adam HaMazik in the first Mishnah? Why not mention Ozo Mazik? Okay, I know now Ozo Mazik is in the second Mishnah, not in the first Mishnah. But why is it not in the first Mishnah? Now you ask him why Kerem is not the first Mishnah, because it doesn't fit with the criteria of being the first Mishnah. It means the first time you do it, you pay. Yeah, that's not what Kerem is. It doesn't qualify to be in the first Mishnah. But Ozo Mazik does qualify to be in the first Mishnah. So why put it in the second Mishnah? Why put it in the second Mishnah? So he says, this separation, why not put it in the first Mishnah? It qualifies. Beniske Mormon Kamiri, Beniske Gufra Lo Kamiri. Because the first Mishnah, it also doesn't qualify for the first Mishnah. Why doesn't it qualify the first Mishnah? Because also Mishnah is talking about Niske Mormon. It's talking about damage which your money causes. The whole Mishnah is one criteria. Damage, the criteria to qualify to be in the first Mishnah, is something you own that damages and you pay the first time the whole lot. That's the criteria in the first Mishnah. If you qualify, you're in the first Mishnah. All those things are in the Mishnah are qualified for that criteria. But Karen doesn't, because you don't pay the whole lot. And otherwise it doesn't pay, because it's not your money, it's yourself. It's not you, it's the person itself. It's not something he owns, he damages. It's something he himself damages. It's something to do with the heap of money. So he also doesn't qualify. So that's why it's not in the first Mishnah. But we want to have a separate category defining a chiddush that even if it's not you and it's your money, you're going to be obligated for your money damaging, and therefore that's the chiddush of the whole first of the Mishnah. Even if it's not you and it's just your money damaging, you're going to be hired to pay to the whole loss. That's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah. It's what kind? It's a chiddush in this. It's kuzim barvish and shrapim. Yeah, because Tosis said. Tosis says on Gimel Amud Beis that it's called, what's the word Mammon mean? Means that you're the cause. Even if you don't monetarily own it, but you're the one who created it, that also comes under the translation of being Mammon. You're the creator of it. Okay. So very good. Shmuel's got a wonderful pesach now. In why then, what's the structure of the first Mishnah? And what qualifies to be the first Mishnah? And why everything fits. And so now we go back to Rav. Rav, Nami, Hakatomi, Otto, the Sefer. You've got a big problem, a big flaw in you, Rav. You have a great way of just translating the words. Shah means everything. Great, that's what we would ideally want to do. Then Martha, you have spare, so you say Martha means Otto. Shmuel says, I love you, I kiss you, I hug you, it's a wonderful shot, I have one sword to do shot, I would agree to you. It's because the word Martha can't mean Otto because it's in the second Mishnah. So what's Rav going to do with that question? What is Rav going to do with if the Mishnah can't be talking about Ozzel Mazik because it's in the second Mishnah? Yeah. Nami Zoran Sefer. Yeah, Rav Nami Akatoni Ozzel Sefer. It also says the second Mishnah. Why you, like, it can't be the first Mishnah. Om Lacho Rav Halu Lamachshova Bahazi Me'udim Hu Tossi. Eloch Nami is in the first Mishnah. And we're repeating it in the second Mishnah. Why are you repeating in the first Mishnah? Because the subject of the second Mishnah is I'm talking about five cases of five examples where you're considered a mu'av and you pay the full amount of money. Five cases where you pay the full amount of money. And therefore, since that's the subject of the second Mishnah, and we'll get to the second Mishnah, we'll define what that subject means. But since the subject second Mishnah is cases which are moored from the beginning, and here's the list of five, is the and therefore you have to list the list of five. So this is just one of the lists. I'm not writing it to tell me that you know what you're chayav. I know already Ozzel Mazik is chayav for the first Mishnah. I know that. Why am I listing a second Mishnah? Because it has to be part of the list. Numbers, I have to make up numbers. I give you a list of the five. Yeah, some of them are not Kedushim already, though. Some of them are Kedushim. But there's a list of five together, five. And therefore, I'm repeating all the Mazik, even though let's just make up the number five. That's what the answer of Rav is. Yes? Yes? No, first wish is also a five. For, okay. Five, but there's only one case according to Rav in the first Mishnah, which is not Chayav, which is Karen. First Mishnah. But every other of the cases in the Mishnah, you are not. So the first Mishnah interested, according to Rashi, the first Mishnah is not talking about paying a whole lot the first time. It's just telling you a whole list of the damages out there, all the damages out there. You've got all of six are listed according to the Rashi. It's the pashtus of the Mishnah. Here's all the damages of the Torah, where you're going to be responsible to pay. Here, this could be nothing else. All the categories, according to Rav, the Rav is reading the Mishnah absolutely how we should translate it. Start means everything. And the Mishnah is talking about all the cases, without exception, where you're going to be kind. Rav is gavaltic, as Shmuel says, I would agree to you. So, one problem. You're repeating on the second Mishnah. So, obviously, it's not the first. That Rav says, I've got an answer for that. It's repeating it, not the Lame, because he just wants to make a list up of five cases. Not to tell you the Chiddush, which I already know from the first Mishnah. But that Shmuel's logic, according to Rav, and Shmuel even reads that, Shah is ideally to translate Shah, is to say it means all cases, only if you're forced to say Shah doesn't mean all cases, and that Shmuel says I'm forced, then I explain obviously there's a tochnit, there's a reason why the first Mishnah doesn't want to do that, and I come up with my rule of what qualifies for that reason. Okay? Okay, so that is a good question. The Gemara doesn't discuss it over here, but we discuss it in the second Mishnah of how to define the criteria of the second Mishnah. Basically, it's how you defining what qualifies the second Mishnah in order to say what the Mark is on. Now, says the... No, I'm not going to say that, sorry. That is later on. Okay. Says the Gemara, now we get to something very interesting. Up to now, it's just Pshat, but very clear Pshat, how to read everything, the structure of everything to Rav and Shmuel, everything's fine. Now the Gemara says, okay, according to Rav, that we're talking about Shah, the Shah means ever Shah damaging in all types and forms, and automatic. So how's the Mishnah reading? The Mishnah is reading like this. My low hurry. What, if you write one, you won't be able to learn the other. If you write Shah, you won't be able to learn automatic this time. If you write Odom or Mazik, you won't be able to learn Shah. What's the Havaminas that you need to write first? So, Hochikom. Lo Rahashah, Shemashalim, Esel Kofar. Shah has a special Kiddush, which doesn't apply to Odom or Mazik, that if the ox kills somebody, the owner has to pay the value of the person that was killed. It's called Kofar. He has to pay the value of the person who kills, if an ox kills somebody. Kora'odam, Shein Mishalim Shkofar, but Odom Amazik, even if he kills somebody, he never pays the value of the person he kills. What does he get if he kills somebody? He gets the capital punishment. He doesn't pay. He doesn't pay. You're asking as a question, Tosis asks a question, he doesn't pay. Yeah. On Shabbos we'll see your question. That's Tosis' question. But he's saying there's an intrinsic chumrah by Shah, which doesn't apply to Odom, that Shah kills, he pays kofar, which doesn't apply to Odom. So if you write Shah is liable to pay, I would think only Shah is liable to pay, as the owner has to pay for damages, and not on Odom and Mazik, because Odom and Mazik is more makel. Then the Quran says, there are Odom Shakai but Abadon for Shah Shay Odom. If you only write Odom and Mazik, it's Chayv, I would know that the owner will have to pay if his ox damages. Why? Because there's a Chumrah on Odom and Mazik. What's the Chumrah on Odom and Mazik? That he not only pays for damages, he pays for your lost work and for all the medicines, and he also pays for embarrassments. So there's extra payments. So if you write Odom Mazik is the person's hard to pay, I would think only Odom Mazik because that's so horrible. And you wouldn't tell me, I would know that you have to pay for the shah. So each one needs to pay. Shah to shah to him, shah dark to has it. And that's the general rule, is that these are dark to has. Now, here we're going to finish off with this question. We've got to where we wanted to go. Where I wanted to go. Now, finish off with this question. Question is like this. You're telling me, there's a half minute out there. Think about what the half minute said. There's a half minute out there that says that if you write that you're chayiv, if your ox damages, if the Torah was right, you know, your ox damages, you have to pay money. I would think that if you don't write of the mamazik, that even if you yourself damages, you pay, I would think you're off the hook. Meaning that if your ox goes around and eats somebody's vegetable patch, no, naughty, sure, and therefore you, Mr. owner of the ox, you pay for that damage. No, because he your ox damaged. Why are you paying? Why are you paying the owner of the shah? Either because it's an extension of you, and like you damaging, or because you're negligent, and we're getting for negligence. But, if you just tell me that by the ox, I would think, if you yourself take a sledgehammer, or economica, and go to the same vegetable patch, and pour economica on the vegetable patch, you don't need to pay. That's what the Gemara is saying. If I was only right, then the ox, the owner pays for the ox, then I would think the owner, even the ox owns him, the person damages the vegetable patch, the owner has to pay for the ox. But if the owner himself damaged with economic, he would not need to pay. How can you have such a husband? How can you even have such a husband? Especially according to Tosfos, who says the whole chiyuv of when your ox damaging is because it's you damaging. Well, you're telling me if I damage, I'm off the hook. So why is when the ox damages, you're going to have to pay? And even according to Rashi, that the chiyuv is your negligence. Your negligence. So we're going to get to negligence. You're telling me negligence you pay for and malicious damage with your own hands you don't pay for? What's the havamin of the Gemara that says if you only write ox, I would think Otam Amazik's off the hook? Makes no sense. The havamin. So that is something to think about. Until we will answer that, Mr. Shem, with the hems of the Marvel, then Mr. Shem will answer that question. Okay, on Shabbos, we're doing Chazorah, and obviously we'll add certain things on Shabbos. But next week, the Seder Shura is Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Three times next week. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday.